Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a magnificent Monday, and hope you had a great weekend, man. It's Florida down here, so it looks like it's about to rain again like usual. But, yeah, other than that, it's pretty great. How are you doing, Dad?
Oh, awesome. Still up here in North Georgia, about 78 degrees, clear blue skies, a light mountain breeze, a low humidity. So, wow, this is like, compared to Florida, this is amazing. I mean, as far as this time of the year, it's really nice up here. So, doing good. But I want to send some condolences out today. You know, I spoke to you guys last week that Joyce Riley was in hospice. She was doing very badly. And Joyce died over the weekend. And so I want to send my condolences to her family and to her friends and to her radio comrades and all the people who knew her well. She built a huge show on the Genesis Radio Platform Network for many years. And I know a lot of the listeners that we have right now are because of Joyce's show. And so that's why I want to basically, you know, just posthumously thank her again for getting me actually motivated to do my own talk show with you. And the fact that, you know, she allowed me to host the Power Hour for almost 5 months, you know, off and on, one or two times a week. So it's been interesting. So I feel bad for the family and for the loved ones, but Joyce was suffering badly with the cancer. And so, I'm glad basically that she's no longer suffering. So my condolences to the family, Austin. What's your first story, buddy?
Well, yeah, the first one that's pretty wild now. You see what's going on in Great Britain, this planned civil war that they've been trying to get spark over in the Europe area with the massive Muslim invasion is basically starting to take off. Now there's been a van attack on Muslims that were leaving a London mosque now, which is starting to really show the violent exchanges between the Muslims and the British population. Apparently the Brits are starting to have enough of it now. They're absolutely sick of it. There's all types of fights and riots in the street from one thing to another now. The supposedly conservative government, though, the British Prime Minister Theresa May, says they're preparing to crack down on Islamophobia in response. And what's so crazy about this over here is they've brought in millions upon millions of these just militant Muslims from all over the world, primarily the Middle East, and they act very, very aggressive and hostile in a lot of manners. And so now, not only are they not supporting the citizens of that country, the born citizens that have been there their whole lives and their families' lives and generations, now they're saying that they're going to crack down on Islamophobia. She also cited the attack as a reason to support her controversial plan to completely regulate the internet, including fully censoring so-called extremists content. And we talked about that a month ago after that one van attack. They had another van attack and how they wanted to bring this in. With the recent passage of the Investigatory Powers Act, the United Kingdom now has the most sweeping surveillance powers in the Western world. Despite the use of tactics some would call full Orwellian, the UK is still struggling with a 24% increase in knife crimes over the last year. This is not coincidence, guys. These numbers, these knife attacks, are going up every single year, almost doubling upon themselves. And there's only one factor that's changed in the UK. It's the massive influx of migrants that they keep bringing in year after year after year. Pamela Geller said this kind of retaliation was only a matter of time. Jihadists can't continue to bomb, mow down, and slaughter citizens and expect no reaction time and time again, especially when they see people and law enforcement and the government jumping to the aid as the side of the enemy. The thing that everybody has to understand that's over there right now is this whole thing has been a planned disruption and a planned civil war from the beginning. This is what they're trying to get to happen in the United States. This is why they stoke the flames of the racial aggression so much. They constantly are trying to put all types of propaganda out there to stoke more hatred among everybody in this country because they want us to fall down the same path. Once you have a country that starts becoming and goes into a full-blown civil war, it's very, very easy to completely take it over and put in full totalitarian laws and no longer allow anybody to have any type of freedom, all in the name of safety and protection and support and trying to stop the civil war. And it seems to be that the UK and Europe is slowly sliding into this dark pit now.
Well, yeah, it's not really slowly anymore. Now it's like a wild avalanche. You know, it's sad because yesterday I talked to a Hispanic crew yesterday who I try to get about a, I get about, I think I want about a quarter acre of land cleared, just basically cut some underbrush. And what ended up happening is we ended up, talking to these guys and, they're all illegals and they're basically, you know, in this country, did they cross the border, you know, when the one guy's kid was, he was out there with them, was probably 5 years old, and they're working because they can't get their citizenship papers. And then they start talking about how a lot of guys don't want to pay them, you know, they wanted to pay them like $200 a week to work. Now remember, they're leaving a country, they're going to get paid like $10 a day, $4 a day, $2 a day. And so they're aggravated that they can't get paid more money. And then it was kind of funny because I told them, I said, well, how much will it cost me to clear some underbrush here? And I said, I figured it'll be, you know, a couple $100, $300, $400 to do everything. And they gave me some ridiculous price, like $1,500. And I said, it's like a 5 hour job for three people. I said, this is no big deal. He just gave me this crazy price. And I finally, I looked at him. I said, dude, I said, you know, I'll just do it myself. I'll get my hedge clippers out and do it myself. I said, I'm not going to do this nonsense. And he said, he kind of looked at me kind of funny. And I said, look, I said, this is not okay. He said, well, I'll call you back in a week or so. I said, no, don't call me back. Lose my number. I said, I won't talk to you again. See, that's that attitude that these people come from other countries in. They come in to try to take advantage of the people here in the United States. And it's not every single person who comes in. It's certainly not. But probably about 30 to 40% of them are like that. And then he even said before I told him I wasn't going to use him, he said, well, he goes, when the people get their citizenship papers in the United States or when they have an anchor baby here, he says, what ends up happening is they decide they're not going to work anymore. They live in the welfare system and they have the United States support them and they never want to do any work. And I said, well, at least you understand that and you realize that. See, this is the same problem that we're running into with the Muslims in England. This is the same problem that we're running into with these ethnic groups that are coming into our country, 100,000 people a month, sometimes more. I think it's much higher than that, by the way. I think it's millions a year we're bringing into the U.S. And this is what's going on. And these people come in here and they're expecting entitlements. This is Cloward and Piven on steroids. This is to bring in the coming civil war, the coming war that Albert Pike talked about in his letters to Mancini. And what she said, the final world war will be staged for the Muslims against the Christians against the Zionists. He says, that's how we're going to stage it. And when what happens is they're going to be such destruction that everybody's going to have enough, then we're going to bring in a one world government, a totalitarian government, and we're going to be able to bring in and conquer the seething energies of Lucifer. You guys, I'm not kidding. You guys can read his book, Morals and Dogma. This is what he talks about. This is what they want to bring in. This is what they want to do. And every single time you see something like this, a knife attack in the United States or a van attack or Muslims involved in all these shootings here in the United States, Austin, or Muslims involved in all the shootings and the rapings in Europe, they're fomenting this civil war, this intercontinental war in Europe. The problem is the people in Europe are so politically correct, they've been so brainwashed, they think that this is not going to happen to them, and they have no idea how these two opposing cultures cannot be properly integrated if they're insisting on bringing Sharia law with them and their laws from their countries, their horrible countries that they destroyed. You know, and then we finish destroying and bombing. They want to bring that type of law, that type of mentality into Europe, into Germany, into England, into the United States, and turn our countries into these hell holes they came out of. I don't understand any of it. All of it is, all of this radical Islam is this. They want to conquer us. They want to conquer Europe because they want to convert us to become Muslims. They want to take our women. They want to have four or five wives. They want to start breeding with them, having 10 or 15 children. And then when 50, 40, 50, 60 years, they'll have a massive majority in Europe and they'll conquer them that way if they don't do it by civil war. This is where it's going. They want to put the boot of Sharia law on our throats until we finally have enough, start the World War III with these guys, which is what they want. And that way it'll allow them again to bring in their new world order. So guys, whenever everything else fails, they'll either crash the economy or start another war. And this is where it's headed if we're not careful right now, Austin. What do you think?
Well, you couldn't have said it much better than that, but I mean, you're exactly spot on with that. And it's so difficult for everybody because it's like we know that if we escalate it with them and it ends up going to a civil war, exactly what you just said happens. But if we sit back and we capitulate, then we allow basically this Muslim Sharia law to completely take over. So it's like it's this catch-22 that they've done. And I mean, since the inception of the entire Muslim ideology, Islam, they've never been able to integrate successfully in society as far as with ones that are about Sharia law. And I mean, I'm hard pressed to say, I find it very difficult to believe that any Muslims deep down inside do not truly believe that Sharia law is the true aspect of what they want in the long run. Now, a lot of them may not say that. They may not admit it. You may have some that are more moderates, or they're simply just don't care. They're like, whatever, I'm Islamic by birth and I could care less as far as I grew up in that. I was born into that, whatever. But the true ones that are about it, almost every time you talk to them in detail and you actually have a long, in-depth discussion about what they really believe, it almost always ends up to the same exact point. And you see as far as what they're bringing over there right now and what it's causing. And it's quite sad. Also, too, what's going on, I've talked about this for years around the country, and it's gotten very aggressive now, that cities all across the country are putting up more and more streetlights equipped with microphones and surveillance cameras. Now, this started back in like 2015, and I remember reading about it, I remember talking about it. Most people were like, oh yeah, you know, I don't know anything about it. I don't know much about it. And the more I keep reading into it, it's becoming prevalent across the entire country now. The city of San Jose, California just signed a contract with Anycom to install another 1,000 streetlights equipped with surveillance cameras and microphones on their street. The council ultimately voted 7-4 to allow Anycom, a tech company with offices in El Dorado, Gold River, and San Jose, to install nodes which could have video and audio recording capabilities on their streetlights. Now, the whole thing I want to go back to that was, and this is on every single aspect, the council voted 7-4. When is the last time you guys got anything in the mail or any notification about voting on having streetlights that have surveillance cameras and microphones in them? Please, if you've gotten that in the mail, please email me. I'm being completely serious. I would love to see that come in the mail and us have a vote, a voice on being fully surveilled by street lamps with microphones and video cameras while you're walking down the sidewalk, because this is getting more prevalent, more and more and more. On November 10th, if you guys remember, 2016, CIA Director James Brennan met with 10 NSP scholars following his announcement that UNM is to be designated the first IC signature school. The program will deepen the cooperation with the CIA. What this is going into now is they're now linking up with all these different companies like Anycom, that are going to be monitoring and help them hold the information and keep the data safe if they have any type of surveillance stuff. Remember, they said the LED streetlights are there to spot suspicious behavior, which means they're going to be spying on everyone 24/7. You guys remember about 6 months ago, GE said they're putting cameras and microphone sensors on 3,200 streetlights in San Diego this year, making it the largest scale use of smart city tools. GE says can help monitor traffic and pinpoint crime. The New York Times revealed the LED lights are doing much more than just monitoring traffic. They even said here, depending on the install or connected sensors, they can detect a range of factors and activities, including motion, congestion, and gunshots, increasingly a particular shopper in or around the store as well, meaning they're monitoring every single aspect of everything around them. According to Michael Robertson, police are using Bluetooth detectors now on these to identify an individual's Bluetooth signal. Almost every smartphone now has Bluetooth sensors in their phone. You can turn it off, you can turn it on. I always recommend you leave it off all the time unless you're really, truly needing to hook it up to something like a speaker in your house or your vehicle. Do not leave open Bluetooth signals on your phone 24/7. Turn them off. A, they drain your battery. B, they turn out a Bluetooth signal. Every single time you go towards a wireless Bluetooth signal, it picks up on that, which means it literally tracks your step-for-step activity where you go, whether it's a store, whether it's somebody else's home. All this stuff is monitored, guys. Understand that every aspect of electronics is monitored now. Michael Robinson said, by combining a license plate or a phone number with a Bluetooth serial number, which every single phone has that has Bluetooth capabilities on it, it's possible to track citizens via their phone every single move. wireless Bluetooth detectors are everywhere now. The whole country is doing this. Last year, Homeland Security, along with TSA and the New Jersey Transit, installed drive cam cameras equipped with microphones to spy on commuters' conversations. They said the video and audio captured is utilized by the New Jersey Transit Police Department and is an indispensable investigatory tool for them to monitor crime. All this stuff, guys, is turning us into a giant monitored slave state that you can't get out of. That's why it's best to stay out of it the best you can. I want to know why they're not putting signs up. These streetlights have microphone and video camera recording devices on them. I would like to see why they don't have that. What law they're trying to get that they're recording you and they're not notifying you they're recording you. Maybe because they're in public, they're saying you don't have to have any type of expectancy of privacy. But it's funny because if a cop's out in public and you record him, they'll threaten to arrest you if you do that. The laws on that now, that if you record a police officer, they can arrest you for it. So I want to see where the double standard's going, how they're putting microphones and cameras and streetlights nationwide, and they're not even have to notifying us that, much less let us vote on it on city council members, is having us come in and say, we're going to have a vote on this. Do you guys want to have this? Yay or nay? So this is something that has gotten pretty irritating to me because I've been reading about it for years, and it's getting really, really aggressive where they're starting to do this now in almost every major city in the United States with no notification whatsoever about it.
Well, London's got like over a million lights, like a million street lights, recording cameras. I mean, everything. It's everywhere in London. I told you guys a story like a couple months ago when I was in the middle of nowhere in England and I made a U-turn on a causeway and Autobahn or whatever, they were superhighway, we want to call it, through the median. And I mean, there was nobody anywhere, and they sent me a ticket. I don't even know where the camera was. It must have been in a tree somewhere. And I'm like, this is nuts. I mean, it was like, £100, it was back then, it was like $200. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I'd have taken the next exit, but I know it was going to cost me $200. I mean, this is stupid, but this is what they do. This is what they have happening. By the way, health article here. Ibuprofen, now, this whole, a lot of people take ibuprofen, kills thousands of people every single year in the United States. I'm quite frankly, number one, I don't even know why in the world at thousands of people every single year that people don't just stop using it, or why it's not pulled off the market. I really don't understand that. And this is an article from Reuters, and it opened with the following sentence. It said, long-term high-dose use of painkillers such as ibuprofen in terms of heart attack risk as use of the drug Vioxx, which was withdrawn due to its potential dangers. In other words, they're saying it's as bad as Vioxx using ibuprofen. The 2004 Vioxx recall, as you may remember, was spurred by the nearly 30,000 excess cases of heart attacks and sudden cardiac deaths caused by the drug between 1999 and 2003. Now, let me stop for a second. Those numbers are low. The numbers that I saw, the actual numbers, between 200,000 and 300,000 people died. Those are the real numbers. Despite the fact that the scientific research had accumulated as early as 2000 linking Vioxx to increased heart attacks and strokes, the drug manufacturer Merck and the FDA remained silent as the death toll steadily increased. The Reuters report focused on the new research published in Lancet, indicating the risk of heart attack increases as much as a third, and the risk of failure doubles among heavy use of NASA drugs. Now, this is because of all the inflammation that people are taking ibuprofen. That's why they do this. And if we go into detail in this article about why pain is so bad. In fact, I wrote a whole article on it on my website about, are you inflamed? And we have to realize this. Ibuprofen is being used because people, their shoulders hurt, or their back hurts, or their hips hurt, or whatever, and they don't realize the over 24 serious adverse health effects, including anemia, DNA damage, hearing loss, high blood pressure, influenza mortality, you can die from the flu because of the ibuprofen, and miscarriage from ibuprofen. Ibuprofen is in fact not unique in elevating cardiovascular disease. The entire category of NSAIDs appear to have this under-recognized dark side of cardiovascular disease and increased cardiac death. So what do you have to do? Well, there's some natural things you could do. What I do is I take cod liver oil. I take it every single day. That really helps keep the blood thin. It keeps your heart from pounding. It keeps your heart pumping well. It keeps the blood the right viscosity. Every single day I take cod liver oil, at least a tablespoon to two tablespoons every single day. You can also take olive oil. Olive oil, when you cook, really is really good. It has a compound known as an oleocanthal, which has been shown to have anti-inflammatory properties similar to ibuprofen without the horrible, horrible side effects. And xanthine, which we have in our office, we have that product also, found in 2011 that this combination would be equal to better than ibuprofen for reducing asthma-associated respiratory inflammation. So there's all kinds of natural things that you can do rather than take all of these drugs that cause all of these toxicity effects, including cardiovascular death. Because, guys, listen to me for a second. I mean, aspirin for years has been known that aspirin causes wet macular degeneration. Aspirin make you go blind. Have you ever wondered why you have all of these macular degeneration clinics and eye clinics all over the place? It's because the doctor started putting people on baby aspirin and aspirin dosing every single day to keep their blood thin. Rather than telling them to drink more water, to take cod liver oil, to take vitamin E, they put them on these aspirin products, which is a blood thinner. And it does such a good job as a blood thinner, it causes the retina to detach from the back of the eyeball if you use it over a period of time. I know me personally, if I ever take an aspirin for something, like a BC powder or something like that, because I've got a headache, which is very, very rare, if I do that for more than 1 or 2 days, I start having really bad problems with my vision. I start seeing bright specks of light in my vision, like flashes, like, you know, where the retina is starting to detach. All of these crazy things happen. That's why I try to avoid all of these products. Because remember, guys, aspirin will also make you bleed out through your gut. And when you get your blood that thin, it doesn't want to clot. As far back as the 5th century B.C., the Greek physician Hippocrates wrote about the use of bitter powder extracted from willow bark that reduced fevers and eased aches and pains. Native Americans knew it too. We call it salicylic acid. This chemical acetyl salicylic acid, commonly known as aspirin, is a synthetic form of the salicylic acid, a compound which is formed when silicon, a bitter compound naturally found within plants like white willow bark, is broken down within the human body. Salicylic acid can also be synthesized endogenously from benzoic acid and its urinary metabolite. While salicylic acid is found naturally in plants, it is only through industrial synthesis is used as far as aspirin. Also, the chemical modification of this natural salicylic acid results in a acetylation of what's called hemoglobin, essentially chemically altering the natural structure function of our red blood cells and subsequent hemodynamics. In essence, aspirin, a semi-synthetic compound, makes the blood tissue itself semi-synthetic. In other words, it makes it so it gets really, really thin. It causes gastric ulcers. It causes hearing loss. It causes tinnitus. It can cause cerebral bleeding. Influenza mortality, the same as the ibuprofen. It can cause Reye syndrome, Crohn's disease, and it causes Helicobacter pylori infection. Plus, it can make you bleed out through the intestinal tract, and you actually die from it and get ulcers from it. So it's one of these things that a lot of people are taking this kind of stuff every single day because they're supposed to reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. But, guys, they're not realizing that the side effects of aspirin can actually be life-threatening, including blinding you. So, guys, one of those things you have to really be careful with and only use occasionally is, if you're going to do aspirin, is basically be very, very careful. If it starts to affect your vision at all, really, really be careful that you need to avoid it as much as possible. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that stuff on a rare occasion, if you need it, which we've talked about before, I don't see, you know, an issue if you absolutely have to take it every once in a while, but taking it on a regular basis, you know, that's, you're talking about, you know, the doctors promote like aspirin a day helps to keep the blood thin. Yeah, there's way too many other natural options. Like, I mean, a product that mimics, as you just said, the super potent E, or mixed tocopherol vitamin E. And I've had multiple customers who have talked to their doctor, and their doctor goes, yeah, you need to be on a baby aspirin a day, this and that. And they've worked with their doctor, and they said, listen, I don't want to be on aspirin the rest of my life. Let's start working on, you know, 1,000, 1,200, 1,600 IUs of mixed tocopherol vitamin E. And they do it under their doctor's, you know, supervision, and they end up not even taking the aspirin anymore, and their blood viscosity is even better than it was before they were taking the aspirin. The thing about it is there's so many other natural approaches to a lot of stuff, and majority of the time, something as simple as vitamin E, especially a good bioavailable mixed tocopherol vitamin E like we carry, plays a really, really crucial role in basically blood viscosity, as Dad would just say, because once that, well, that is an issue, because once that blood starts getting too thick, which a lot of it can be dehydration, that's a huge factor. A lot of people don't realize that, and I talk to people about that all the time when on the phone and email, is when they're having issues with blood pressure, you know, they're having issues with blood viscosity, when they're having issues with, you know, rapid heart rate, all kinds of stuff. I always ask them, and it's not always the main factor, but I always ask them, how much purified water are you drinking every day? And 9 times out of 10 when I talk to those people, they rarely are ever drinking adequate water. Majority of them say, well, I drink about 4 to 5 glasses a day. And I'm like, well, how big are those glasses? You know, like an average glass, like, you know, a 10, 12 ounce glass. Listen, if you're a 200 pound male and you're only drinking 50 ounces of water a day, I can promise you, you're staying in a consistent dehydrated state on a regular basis. The body is between 60 to 70% water. It needs fluid all the time to function. And when it doesn't have fluid in it, the blood gets too thick and the heart can't pump it. It's like trying to pump 90 weight gear oil. It doesn't work good. It's just too thick. So drinking water, purified water at that, that's why we use distilled water, because it doesn't have any minerals in it, and we add back the AquaTrace formula. I had an email, somebody called me up the other day, or email on there about somebody asking about the distilled water. Yes, there's articles online that you can find that say, well, you shouldn't drink distilled water because it does this or it can do that. Distilled water, when it's freshly made, is pretty much about pH neutral. In my opinion, what we created for the product was a formula called AquaTrace, which is over 70 different trace minerals that we get out of Utah that have come right out of the ground. They're totally bioavailable, and you put them in your water. Those AquaTrace bottles are in 8-ounce bottles. They last forever, literally. I mean, they go forever. They, I think, if I'm not mistaken, one bottle of the AquaTrace, which is around $30, will adequately remineralize around 200 plus gallons of water, and that's if you use the full amount. I know a lot of people that don't even use that, and they get 400 to 500 gallons out of a bottle. My opinion, though, I would rather use more and keep a heavy amount of the good bioavailable minerals in it to drink on a regular basis. So yes, if you have a couple bottles of the AquaTrace, you're talking about being able to adequately remineralize anywhere from 2,000 to 3,000 gallons of water if you basically ration it if you need to. So I like distilled water. It's very easy. It's very effective. It's very cost effective too. I have a lot of people run the notion by reverse osmosis. Reverse osmosis is great water systems. I'm not knocking them at all. The very high quality ones are good. They can range anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 though. And what a lot of people don't realize is that in order to keep that water high quality, you have to have very high quality filters that usually have to be changed every 6 to 12 months. Those filters can range anywhere from $100 a piece that I've seen to $300 to $400 a piece on multiple filter systems. So you're looking at, in 1 year, you're going to end up spending anywhere from a couple $100 to upwards of $1,000 on filters every year to keep it maintained. The main water distiller system that we have, our model 8800, our countertop basic system, is like $400 for the unit. $400. Then it makes water regularly every couple hours. You fill it up, do it, fill it up, do it. There's only one filter that has to be changed. It's a coconut carbon shell filter that goes into the top that needs to be changed out about every 3 months. Those, on average, I think you buy a six-pack for like $30. So a six-pack lasts you a year to year and a half for $30. The water's completely pure. Buy a bottle of AquaTrace that'll last you probably anywhere from, you know, a year, half a year, for $30, and that's about all the maintenance you need to do on it, and it's a very, very basic system that works very easily. Distilling water is not complicated. It's easy to fix. It's easy to use, and it's really pure water. You don't have any other contaminants you have to worry about in it. So that's a little side note on distilled water. I get lots of questions on that all the time, but yes, that's why we've chosen to use distilled water. That's why we have the AquaTrace formula, and it's a very, very easy, cost-effective, basic protocol that pretty much gives you the purest water you can get a hold of. You need to be drinking at least half your body weight and fluid ounces every day of purified water. So that's super simple. You weigh 200 pounds, you need at least 100 ounces of water a day. Me, I'm about 192 right now, 191. I drink about a gallon of water a day. I like to have extra water in my system because if you're working out, especially in Florida, when you sweat all day long when you go outside out here, you have to keep adequate fluids in your system. And in order for the body to detox itself, to clean out the kidneys, to flush out the liver, to have proper blood viscosity, you have to have enough water in your system. I can't stress that anymore, guys. So that's a little side note on water intake. I got kind of rabbit trailed on that, Deb, but I want to address that because I'm getting a lot of emails on it.
Well, let me tell you one of the things I learned as a naturopath back in the day, 30 years ago. If you take distilled, okay, let's look this way. Let's say you take a glass of orange juice. and you have, it's really sweet. I can't drink orange juice, but I'm using it as an example because everybody knows what it is. And you basically take a glass of orange juice and you taste it. It's really, really sweet. It dumps my sugars, makes me want to take a nap in 20 minutes. I don't drink orange juice. I'll now eat an orange. They don't do that because it's got the fiber in them. But take a glass of orange juice and let's pretend like that's your blood, right? And so you're basically, your blood's going to be sweet. You got too much sugar in it. If you want to drink orange juice that doesn't taste as sweet, you can cut it 50-50 with water, and then it doesn't taste as much. It doesn't taste very sweet anymore. If you cut it 10% orange juice and 90% water, you basically have diluted the sugar so much that you have a much lower sugar content in what you're drinking. This is what distilled water does to your system. When you have a really high viscosity of your blood, or high blood cholesterol, or high blood sugar, if you start drinking half your body weight in fluid ounces in water every day, it dilutes your blood so that the ratio is not as high. This is why they don't want you drinking for like 12 hours or overnight if you're going in for a blood test or a urine test, because they can't get adequate readings on the blood or the urine because you've skewed the numbers on the test because you've drunk so much water. That's why they tell you not to do that. So if you continually drink the water that your body needs, it allows your body to regulate your sugar levels and your cholesterol levels much easier. If you're trying to, like you said, take 90 weight axle fluid, you know, that's so thick, your body's trying to run that through your kidneys and through your arteries, the heart can't pump that softly and smoothly like it would water. It's got to pound, so you'll feel your chest pounding. This is what happens when you start using a lot of omega-6 fats, like corn oil or safflower oil or soybean oil. It causes the blood to get real, real thick, and you can feel your heart pound. This is why the olive oil, and you know, it should be used, and the canola oil should never be used because of the omega-6 content. This is what water does. It helps to dilute the entire cardiovascular system and circulatory system. For example, one of the reasons, it's a complicated thing that causes the diabetic to get real thirsty, but one of the reasons they start getting thirsty is the body realizes that the sugar concentration is too high in the blood, and it's got to bring the sugar down. So diabetics start drinking tremendous amounts of water, trying to get their body to straighten itself back out. They get a real thirst mechanism going. That's why it's so important that you drink water every single day, but you don't drink it when you're thirsty. You sip on it throughout the day. In other words, if you drink a gallon of water at once, it's not healthy at all. And number two is you're going to be urinating it all back out. If you sip on water continually through the day, it allows your blood to maintain the proper viscosity, and that's one of the primary reasons that people end up with cardiovascular disease, Austin, is that their blood is too thick. And that's in that heart, the heart's having to pound it, and right where the arteries fork, like when you have one artery go one way, they branch right at that fork, right in that little road there in your arteries, you start having tremendous, tremendous friction. And when that happens, your body basically has to put cholesterol right there as a lubricant to make the blood flow more effectively around that fork. That causes a lot of the problems with atherosclerotic plaquing. The body's trying desperately to make the blood flow more efficiently through the cardiovascular system, which is like over 20,000 miles of arteries and veins and capillaries and arterioles. So you got all of this stuff going on in your body all at once, and it's all dependent upon the viscosity of the blood. So when the blood's too thick, it simply won't work. That's why I've been using distilled water, because regular tap water with chlorine and fluoride, that causes all types of problems with the thyroid. It doesn't help thin the blood. The body doesn't know what to do with all the poison you just put into your body. But distilled water is such a pure solvent, is what it is. It helps to dilute all of these body fluids that are too thick in most people, Austin, causing such a massive amount of cardiovascular disease. Now, it does something else too. When the blood is too thick and it's flowing too slowly, number one, you start having decreased oxygen flow. This is one of the reasons that people start having problems with their veins and blood vessels with diabetes. They start having a breakdown of the small capillaries and arteries in the arterioles in their legs and their feet. And they start having all kinds of swelling there. And they also have all kinds of health problems, including amputations, because of that, because of a lack of oxygen that's getting to that tissue. When the blood's too thick, you massively decrease the oxygen flow to the tissue. And all of that's because of the water again. And so here's what happens. Now you have a problem with the person becoming diabetic because the system basically has a horrible, horrible, you know, the viscosity of the blood is too high. And now when you become diabetic, you have a massive increase in cardiovascular disease, massive with diabetics. And because you're cutting the blood flow off with oxygen to the same tissue, you have a massive increase of cancer risks. Because cancer is an anaerobic disease. It cannot live in the presence of oxygen. So when you have not a sufficient quantity of oxygen in the system, what ends up causing, you end up coming down with cancer. So not only are you getting heart disease, you're getting diabetes, and you're getting cancer. Why? Because you're not drinking enough water. So I've said this 1,000 times at seminars and on radio shows. If you don't ever hear me say anything again about health, if you don't ever want to buy a supplement from Health Masters, if you don't ever want to take a vitamin from anywhere, anytime in your entire life, okay, do one thing to help your health. Drink distilled water, half your body weight in fluid ounces every day, and put a drop of Aquatrace in a gallon, or a couple drops in a gallon, and be done with it. And you won't even taste the Aquatrace in that concentration. Or you can just drink the distilled water if you've got a real problem with blood viscosity, and it'll help you without putting the Aquatrace in. But guys, that single bit of information that we're giving you today on water is so important that most people never get it, and that's why we have so many people dying of heart disease, of diabetes, and cancer. It's because of blood viscosity, blood flow, oxygen, and sugar in the system, guys. That's how simple it is when you look at it from a biochemical standpoint. But I guarantee you, 99% of you will tell me right now, your doctor never told you this, and the reason your doctor didn't tell you this, they weren't trained in this, because they were trained in allopathic medicine, and they weren't given the same information that I was given, Austin. There you go. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and I've talked about this multiple times on the show. When I was going in the Marine Officer Candidate School, you know, I knew about water. You knew about water. And I figured, you know, the Marines, they pretty much figure out how to get anything done. They really do. If there's a way to do it, they end up figuring out how to do it. And I was talking with a master sergeant, and, you know, we were talking about different things with some of the MARSOC and the Special Forces guys. And he says, you know, we figure out how to do sleep deprivation. We can handle that. You can eventually do it. You know, even 30-minute hour naps, you can do sleep deprivation pretty long. Food deprivation, you can go without eating for a significant period of time. You know, in total exhaustion of the body, you can keep pushing it, and your body can actually adapt to it to some extent. He goes, but one thing that you will not do, and it is physically impossible to do so, we have never found a way to successfully do it, is water deprivation. Does not work. Within 2 to 3 days of any type of physical activity and no water, you are dead. There is no other way around it. Even the Marines couldn't figure out how to do it. They've never been able to do it before. That's why it's so crucial. If you're out camping, if you're out hiking, if you're doing all that, you always keep extra water on you, and you also carry backup water filtration on you. I'm a huge proponent of that, because if you're out somewhere and you have, say, a half a gallon of water or a canteen of water, that's good and great. But if you end up having something happen, if a vehicle breaks down, if there's an EMP, if something happens that's outside of your control, and you don't have any extra water, and you don't have any way to filter water, the only next possible step you have is boiling water, which that can be incredibly tedious, and hopefully you have the pots to do so and the ability to do so successfully and cleanly, and at that point you're still taking a risk. So having some backup water filtration in an emergency is very important, but if you're not in an emergency, having a good basic water distillation system in your house on a regular basis is very important as well. And also, too, speaking of statin drugs, this is another article I've talked about briefly, but I wanted to touch base on it again, because I don't think people quite fully respect the dangers of statins, but also, too, as we've told you before, the ease of it to basically be able to come off statins under doctor supervision, of course, but natural supplements make it so easy to get your cholesterol under control. Statins are, of course, the type of cholesterol-lowering drugs that are supposedly help people that are at risk of cardiovascular disease. Well, a recent study by researchers from Penn State College of Medicine presented a troubling fact about statin drugs. The use of statin drugs can increase a person's susceptibility to Parkinson's disease. Is anybody wondering why we're seeing such a massive increase in Parkinson's over the last 20 to 30 years now? I mean, it's really going up dramatically. Statins now are the number one most prescribed drug in the United States. That's not an accident. For their study, the researchers extracted and studied data from a database of insurance claims out of 50 million people registered in the database. They were able to identify 22,000 people suffering from Parkinson's disease. They then narrowed it down to just 2,322 people who had been recently diagnosed with the condition. Those Parkinson's disease patients were then each paired with with another person from the database who didn't have Parkinson's disease. Finally, the researchers determined who had been taking a statin and the length of time before the symptoms of the disease as Parkinson's manifested. The results, which had been published in Movement Disorders, showed a definite connection between Parkinson's disease and statin use. In their study, the researchers noted that the risk of developing Parkinson's disease was greater during the start of statin treatment in a period of 2.5 years to be exact. Also, the association was even stronger with the use of statins that diffuse in fat. So what they were saying was, at about 2.5 years, there was a massive, notable increase in Parkinson's disease in patients that were taking statin drugs. And even worse in people that were taking the statin drugs that were basically the diffusing fat. There's water-soluble and fat-soluble statin drugs. They said the reason for this lies in the statin's ability to penetrate various tissues. Compared to hydrophilic, which is water-soluble statins, the fat-soluble statins can enter cells with greater ease, meaning they can reach the brain, while water statins can't. So this is another reason, guys, to be very, very cautious about going on these drugs like candy. A lot of doctors, like Dad just said, they don't explain any of this stuff to you. They just say, oh, well, your cholesterol needs to be, you know, below 200. You're at 205, so we're putting you on statins now. And everybody goes, okay, you're the doctor. I'll just listen to what you say on it. And the sad part is majority of individuals don't get told any other options by their doctor. That's what we're here for. That's why we have this. I mean, there's dozens of articles we have on the website talking about cholesterol and statin. It's so easy to get your cholesterol under control with a healthy diet, with supplement usage, with exercise, and a combination of all together if you really want to work at it. But stuff like the Cholesterol X, just by itself, I had a friend of mine, his mom started on that stuff. She was basically, her cholesterol was around like 230, 240, wasn't that high. The doctor was adamant she had to start in statins. She said, no, I don't want to start in statins. I don't want to start. Every time she went in, they did blood work again. Every 3 months. Oh, you need to start in statins. You really need to do it. She got on her Cholesterol X. The next time she came in, her cholesterol was like 205. The doctor was like, well, you're not quite in the range I want you to be in, which I was like, whatever. He goes, but whatever you're doing is working very well, so I keep telling you, do whatever you're doing because it's working. She goes, well, I'm taking Cholesterol X, a supplement, you know, our friend's company they manufacture. And he goes, okay, well, whatever, fine, whatever it is, just keep doing it. Didn't care, didn't want to read about it, didn't want to do any research on it, of course, because they don't want to do anything with supplements. But, yeah, guys, be very, very cautious about these statins because they're directly linking them to Parkinson's now, and that's just a started it. They're linked to all kinds of other issues that we've talked about numerous times, but Parkinson's is definitely a very serious issue that I don't wish on anybody.
I mean, heart disease, cancer, liver failure, kidney failure, all of this is linked to statin drugs. Remember, guys, yep. I'm going to say this one more time, since I beat this dead horse like it won't listen, I'm going to tell you one more time. The reason that your cholesterol is elevated is not primarily your diet, because your body makes cholesterol. It's that you're not drinking enough water. You're not getting the right nutrients into your system with the food that you're eating. That's number one. That's why the Cholesterol X works so well. The reason that your blood sugar is elevated, because you're not eating the right foods, you're not getting the right nutrients, and you're not drinking enough water. The common denominator always comes back to water on this, because it's so important. I mean, the doctors used to tell a person was becoming diabetic, they would actually, this is back in the 1800s, they would actually taste their urine. I kid you not. And the urine is sterile, so it wasn't going to kill them. I'm not recommending you do that ever. But what they would do, they find that the urine starts getting sweet. That's because of the sugar being spilled. This is what it does. And so that's why you start craving huge amounts of water. Your body's doing everything it possibly can to dilute the sugar. So, guys, if you dilute the sugar to start with using enough water in your system, now don't go berserk, okay? Stay with half your body weight in fluid ounces. I don't want you drinking 2 gallons of water a day, and that can cause other problems. I mean, that can actually kill you if you drink too much water. But if you drink half your body weight in fluid ounces, if you weigh 200 pounds, drink 100 ounces of water a day. Or you can drink a gallon a day like Austin does. That's okay, too. But don't be drinking 2 and 3 and 4 gallons a day unless you've got some job that you're really, really out in the sun and you're really, really perspiring a lot and sweating. But then what we used to always do when we were kids, you have to replace the minerals in your body when you're sweating like that, and you really need to increase your salt consumption. Now, as kids, we actually used to take salt tablets in Florida when we were working construction, because you'd sit there and literally sweat out 10 pounds of fluid a day. I'm not joking about that, by the way, in the hot sun, like carrying concrete block and that kind of stuff. I mean, you wouldn't believe how much weight you'd lose if you didn't keep the water levels going throughout the day, and how your muscles would start cramping up. Exactly what, you know, Sergeant Cook told us, Austin, when you were going into the Marine Corps. Oh, by the way, Oliver Stone has had an interview with Colbert now, and after he got back from Russia, or before he went to Russia, I'm not sure. And he said that basically, I'm going to read what he says, quote. He goes, Oliver Stone probably didn't know that he was attacking the neoconservative war hawks and ethnic cleansers in Washington, D.C. when he told Stephen Colbert that Israel had far more involvement in the U.S. election than Russia. Wow. That statement indeed was a political bomb, and it was almost certainly took Colbert by surprise in response to his claim. In fact, Stone was obviously pulling the old anti-Israel leftist line about how AIPAC is controlling Washington, much the way they control the Hollywood group, and in his haste to save his face, apparently forgot the difference between contributing to political campaigns and hacking DNC computers. Well, obviously Stone struck a nerve, for we all know by now that AIPAC has had and continues to have a tremendous, powerful influence. AIPAC is, by the way, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee on U.S. foreign policy. Once again, this is not a conspiracy. This is the truth. The scholarly studies on this issue are just as an embarrassment to these guys. Because the reality is this, guys. The strongest lobbying group in the United States, praise God, is the National Rifle Association. The second strongest group of lobbying people in the United States is AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. In fact, it almost serves as a foreign government interest pool, in which some people have tried to ban it because they said it's unduly influencing our elections and our processes in Washington, D.C. So, yes, I agree with Oliver Stone that Israel has a much greater impact on the elections in the United States through AIPAC than the Russians ever thought about having. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. They got a whole lot of impact on everything. And, I mean, that's what we've been, you know, hearing from all this stuff. And like I said before now, the same thing with ISIS. That, I mean, ISIS keeps constantly getting funded with all this stuff. You know, the Mossad, the CIA, they're funding these guys. I mean, and then everybody, a lot of people are just too blinded by the mainstream propaganda to see what's really going on. So nobody really sits there and looks at it and goes, oh, well, that makes more sense now than just believing that ISIS is this crazy rebellious Muslim group that happens to have money and ammunition and armored personnel carriers fall out of the sky on the regular basis. Well, actually, they do have it fall out of the sky from, you know, cargo planes and resupply planes that we provide for them, but that's a whole other story. But using that as a figurative, that's exactly what's going on with it. So, yeah, that whole thing with Israel, they're involved in a lot of stuff. Also, too, this is something that I wanted to address, too, with this. This is a weird topic, but this article got me so heated, I had to bring it up today. You guys may get mad about it. I don't really care. This is just something that has to get addressed, because when we're having this level of aggressive rhetoric spoke about any type of race, it should not be allowed at all. A society that abuses free speech to the extent that race murder is actually promoted, it's pretty disheartening to me. The big, pretty much magazine, MedUSA magazine, total blatant feminist, sexist, liberal magazine, just released an article entitled Beyond Pro-Choice, the Solution to White Supremacy is White Abortion. I kid you not. And the writer, Nicole Valentine, basically blamed white families for standing in the way of progressive societies. And she goes on here, and I'm quoting what she said on this. This is beyond violent racism now as far as what she's promoting. She says, whites are embedded from birth with a sense of common white identity, and the identity conditions them to replicate the white family unit, thus furthering the cycle of white supremacy in America. That is why the white family unit must be destroyed. White woman, it's your time to do your part. Your white reinforcement children, the white supremacist society, is benefiting you. If you claim to be progressive and yet willingly birth white children by your own choice, you're a full hypocrite. White women should be encouraged to abort all of their white children and use their freed up time and resources to assist women of color who have no other choice but to raise their own children. I'm not going to go into any more what she said, because it's just more of absolute insanity. But this is the kind of filth now that is being spewed on the American population through magazines like MedUSA Magazine. I can't even believe anybody would take this seriously whatsoever, much less pay for a subscription. This is beyond racial hatred. And I'm not saying this about any specific race. If you talked about any race whatsoever, any race, in any manner of this shape or form, they would more than likely either shut down this website or come to your house and investigate you and figure out what you're promoting on here for unbelievably aggressive hate speech. But because it's only towards white people, it's wrong. It's not wrong. This is something that has to stop, guys. We can't keep promoting this total and complete perversion of a racist society like this. It doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, you're white, you're Asian, you're black. Everybody's made in God's own image. We all have a soul. We were all built in God's own image. Aborting children is never okay, in my opinion. That's a whole nother topic for this. But sitting there and blatantly promoting and demanding that white women abort their white children, because if they don't, they're essentially white supremacists, is almost beyond my level of thinking, Dad. And I had to bring it up. I saw that and was so disappointed that there's actually people out there that are getting publication exposure with this type of stuff, and people think it's okay to talk like this now and promote this level of basically race murder is what it is, essentially.
Okay, I mean, God, shoot, I don't want to spend the energy to go into this thing, but I'll talk about it. I'm in a campground right now with an iPad, you know, in my car. And I want to grab the iPad and start running around up and down the campground screaming and yelling right now, but I can't do it because they'll take me away.
Okay. Yeah, they will.
I mean, so here's the thing. I don't know. Okay, there's a difference between being a bigot and being a racist. Now, I'm going to explain that again to you guys. A bigot is a person who's unwilling to accept another person's moral standards or views. A bigot would be a person who's unwilling to say, I'm a bigot when it comes to pedophilia. I'm unwilling to accept that a man wants to have sex with a little baby or a boy, and that's okay. I'm diametrically opposed to that, okay? I think that's nauseating, and the guy needs to be taken out back and shot. That's what I personally believe. So if that would make me a bigot towards his value system. Okay, that's what that is. A racist believes that a person is genetically inferior to them, and that person should not be allowed to breed, and that person's a blight on society, and that person needs to be extinguished or basically exterminated or eradicated. This is what this lady is. She's a vehement racist, and she needs to be silenced. And the fact that you're absolutely right, that somebody has given this nutbag a platform, just really aggravates me, and I could use other words, but I won't, because it's something that is not okay with anybody to talk like this. If I said this about another race, I would immediately be branded a racist. No one would ever have me on a talk show again. I'd probably drummed off the air on Global Star, any other network I'd ever be on. Why? Because I said something like that, and quite frankly, I would deserve to be run off the doggone show if I talk like that. Okay, but I don't even believe stuff like that. But these people, you got to understand something, guys. They're not just, this isn't rhetoric for them. They really, really believe this. When Harrison was graduating a couple of weeks ago, valedictorian from the collegiate high school program, there were thousands of people in the audience. And all of these people were very proud of their kids because their children were all in the collegiate high school program. And I was talking to this black lady beside me, and you could tell she was like intolerant of white people. But she was being nice to me because we're all there together. And then she asked me, you know, who Harrison was and that kind of stuff. And I told her that he was valedictorian. She didn't say congratulations. She got angry. And I mean, to the point that I got up and left. I said, you know what? I gotta go. Cause I know me. Cause I don't want to get pushed like that because I start saying stuff and I shouldn't say stuff in public. So rather than getting into a situation that was going to be compromising me, you know, because I basically wanted to listen to my son's speech. I basically walked away and went and recorded the video somewhere else, and then I went downstairs. You remember when I did that, Austin? And I went downstairs and went and sat with my mother-in-law because she has a hard time climbing up the stairs. But I could not believe the underpinning the racial hatred there in that collegiate high school program where there were probably, out of 140 kids graduating, there were probably 30 black kids graduating, which is way beyond the statistical number of percentage of black kids in the community of their, with their black friends and stuff graduating. And I was really happy for them. I told her, I'm so happy for you. It's such a blessing to get college hours out of the way and all that kind of stuff. But she was angry that Harrison was white because the girl who got the second place was black. And she got the salutatorian, and it was tied with her and another white girl. And this lady was angry that Harrison, a white man, had basically won this. And I could tell you a whole lot more stories about that, but I don't want to get into trouble. But I'm not going there. By the way, Yemen cholera. This is another little war that we decided to start with our CAA. Cholera, this is where they're drinking water contaminated with feces, could pass 300,000 by September, according to the UN. This is crazy. A cholera outbreak in the war-ravaged Yemen could affect more than 300,000 people by the end of August, up from nearly 193,000 cases a day, the United Nations said Friday. Probably the end of August, we will reach 300,000 cases, the UN Children's Agency spokesperson Relano told reporters in Geneva during a conference call. The number of cases continue to increase, Relano said, adding that all of Yemen's 21 governorates have been affected because the water is so contaminated there, they don't know what to do because the infrastructure has been bombed and they can no longer process and clean water. We did the same thing to Syria, and then we had a cholera outbreak in Syria. Guys, this isn't okay. This isn't the way wars are fought, where the women and children are have to drink sewaged water. This is a nightmare. I can't believe the United States is involved in any of this nonsense over there, and we need to get our government to wake up and realize that this behavior is not okay. It's like Austin said at the beginning of the show, I never signed up for any of this stuff. No one ever asked me if we should invade Iraq. Nobody ever asked me if we should invade Syria. Nobody ever asked me if we should be invading all these other countries over there. They just do it on their own and charge you and make you pay the taxes to do it. I'm going to stop. I'm going to start fussing here. Guys, thank you. I love you, and I appreciate you so much. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us, your B vitamins, your vitamin C, and your D3, and your water distillers from us. Thank you so much. If you love the show, tell your friends about it. Please continue to pray for us. I want you to know I appreciate all of you guys, and I love you. I appreciate you, Austin. You'll have to write up the summary again today, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Sounds good, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for all the emails over the weekend. We're touching base on all those with you guys. We appreciate the support. And, yeah, check out the website if you want to see the product of the week. Looks like the Ultimate Multiple Chewable is pulling pretty hard to win Wednesday. And still, the Sublingual B12 Methylcobalamin is the winner, which is on sale for over 10% off. Definitely a great product for everybody. Check it out. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.